Well, it's been a pretty fantastic trip all in all. Met a lot of friends, and all looks very positive with Eri to make a baby in June. Or at least try. It's my unconventional life. Counting down. I went to the woods because I wanted to live deliberately. To front only the essential facts of life. And see if I could not learn what it had to teach. And not when I came to die, discover that I had not lived. My name is Nigel McGuinness, and this is My Unconventional Life. It's a podcast, it's a journal, and in a way, it is kind of a personal ad. But most of all, it's about navigating the treacherous waters of love, sex, and relationships in 2017. Sponsored by absolutely no one. Every week, I detail my own journey and discuss my own untraditional views and aspirations in that world. Whatever the topic, whoever the guest, it all comes back to one question. How do we best find and express love in 2017? So my trip to the UK was pretty fantastic all in all. I am back in LA for a day and then off again for work. It's been a pretty hectic year of travel and work so far, but I don't mind it at all. Plus, it should slow down in June. Apologies if you can hear the hammering and sawing in the background, but the motherfuckers who are building a fucking apartment complex next to my apartment won't shut the fuck up. Nonetheless, we will continue. So the good thing about travelling so much is all the friends that I've managed to see around the world. And it's reminding me again just how blessed I am to have so many dear friends all over the world. I do need to focus on meditation and mindfulness, however, because I've noticed myself slipping back into the default mode of looking into the future constantly, going over things I have to do or be prepared for, or at worst, catastrophizing. But the simple fact that I'm noticing this is a good sign that I'm on the path to really getting to a better, more peaceful state of mind. I've stayed with a few friends with children and had a lot of great advice from them. I've met up with friends I haven't seen since I was 15 years old. And we've been blessed with sunshine nearly every day, which is almost unheard of in England. We visited the town my last name came from and the magical little village in the middle of nowhere where I grew up. And I found my heart aching with nostalgia at every turn, as all these different memories flooded back of being young and hopeful and excited about the simple fact of existing. I think I've always found wonder in the world from being raised in such a loving, stable, and encouraging environment. I saw the house where I told my childhood friend that I loved her, and she told me she didn't feel the same way. I saw the street I walked along with my first girlfriend after playing rugby at school with my chest flushing with endorphins from being in love. I saw the street lamp I used to wait under at midnight for my friends to show up to build a camp in the woods, only to go back home half an hour later when they didn't show up. I saw the tennis court where we'd play for hours into long summer nights, then sit in the cool night air looking up at stars, feeling our whole lives ahead of us. Hundreds of such memories. But with them came a certain sense of sadness too. That's what nostalgia feels like, doesn't it? Wonder tinged with a faint sadness. Reliving those often virgin emotions, actually feeling the emotion again, then realizing you're a different person now and will never feel that same way again. And of course, it made me think of my dad, who's been gone now for 2 years last Monday. But with that, as with all of the thoughts, came a sense of acceptance, a calm sense perhaps of falling back into destiny, into life's story, again, that will tell its story with or without your worrying or suffering. As I've talked with old friends, there have been stories of friends who've died, stories of failing health in our parents' generation and ours, and it reinforces this notion that I am at the next chapter of my life and ready to be a parent. 5 months, to be honest, is a short time to decide to have a child with somebody, 6 by the time we're talking about trying. But again, I'm aware that 6 months more, or a year, quite likely won't bring me any new insight. Or perhaps more so, no absolute freedom from doubt. I do feel as confident as I ever have about having a child with Eri. When I look at all the traditional relationships with children that I know, a lot aren't as suited as we are. I think it feels short when you compare it to traditional relationships, because in traditional relationships, you're flooded with oxytocin. And to be honest, you don't talk in depth about all eventualities of a parenting relationship in a traditional relationship the way that we have. You certainly don't have a 4-page contract drawn up by the 4th month. Erie and I see the world and parenting in many of the same ways. And the ways we don't seem to conflict too much. The most important characteristics that I can see we have are that we're kind and willing to compromise, and that we both want to be parents. Sometimes there are times in life where you have to stand and take a leap of faith. Not without education or due diligence, but a leap of faith nonetheless. And that is a powerful thing. We love each other. I could say we love each other as friends, but I don't believe there are different types of love. Love is love. It can vary in intensity, but not in the core emotion. Some people I love, I'm sexually attracted to. Some I'm not. Some I might be sexually intimate with. The vast majority I will not. But to categorize the people I love in terms of the physicality we share seems a little brusque and puritanical to me. As such, the relationship I have with Erie is unlike any other I've had. And I'm not sure I can find the words to describe it. The intimacy we've had has had an element of, perhaps, pragmatism to it, but an element of freedom and kindness too. I guess when you meet someone with the sole intention of having a child today, there is going to be a certain practicality about the resulting relationship. But none of it is at all bad. I feel we have a wonderful and loving friendship. And as it stands now, we've penciled in the middle of June to try to conceive. Kind of scary. But also exciting too. I am looking forward to being back in LA for more than one day in June. Not just for that, but as much to enjoy the city again. And to see Venus and all my friends. To ride my bike to the gym, to go to the ocean, to sit outside reading a book at my favourite coffee shop, to run up the hills to Griffith Observatory, to simply exist. And hopefully, the motherfuckers next door will stop making such a fucking noise. The interview this week, then, is the 3rd part of my interview with my best mate Al. It got a little heated at points in the past, and it made me giggle in this part, I think, when the discussion got a little homoerotic when Al used a theoretical relationship between him and I for some reason to try to understand polyamory. Nonetheless, it's perhaps the best interview I've done, and comes full circle by the end. Ours, perhaps, is the definition of a true friendship. And, as much as he may hate to hear me say it, love.
You turn everything. You're an intelligent guy, and you turn everything to make it beneficial to your argument. Like, to say, well, let's call them normals, monogamous, yep. Normal peoples get to go out with their friends.
Yep.
And
yep.
Do you know? Not a lot.
I think they do.
No, they don't. Not if they've got babies. They really don't.
Mary does.
No, she doesn't.
She's going out to a wedding thing. She goes to yoga. She does...
Not a lot. Not like if you're a single person or if you're a couple without...
I'm not saying like a single person. I'm saying you can have relationships.
Or a couple without children.
I'm saying you can have friendships when you have kids.
Yes, you can have friendships.
Right, and then why can't those friendships be sexual in nature?
They can.
Okay, then you're on board.
No, I'm not on board.
Then
I'm
why
just,
not?
No, I'm not on board. I don't believe... Your way, I believe you think it's going to be a lot easier than what it actually is.
You just think it's a better option than the traditional norm.
That baby mama's going to... Baby mama's had a shit day with baby grape.
Mm.
And you're going out and you think she's going to be okay with that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so she's had a shit day with baby grape.
Yeah.
And she's saying, you've made arrangements with Susie.
Mm-hmm.
And you think she's going to be okay that she's had a shit day to know that you're then going out for a meal?
Yeah, because you have this discussion, you have this communication, you have this agreement to help each other out. Now, there may be a day where she says, you know what, I've had a shit day. And I go, you know what, I'll just cancel. I'll cancel and you go out and you spend some time. And that's what being in a partnership is about. You know, that may happen sometime. I wouldn't say it wouldn't. You know, I'd just be certainly willing to do that if she said, you know what, I just feel really bad today. You know, I know you've made these agreements, but... If you could do this, I'd appreciate it. Absolutely. I'll text Sandra. Sorry, sweetheart. I'll make it up to you. and I'll make it up to her.
I can't wait till you have a kid. Honestly, I just so can't wait till you have a kid and you have that look and you're so tired. You haven't slept for sort of like 12 or 14 hours and you're just like, Alan, I just don't even know what I'm doing.
Well, this is great. I want to see.
I don't know. Well,
listen, it will be on this podcast if that's the case. I'll talk about it.
Because the truth is, I think you think, because all your goals, what you've wanted to achieve, you've done them and I'm proud of you for that.
Mm-hmm.
I think you just see this as another...
very difficult goal to achieve.
Yeah, and I...
And
I,
you don't think it's a very difficult goal to achieve?
I think it's a really difficult goal to achieve, but so, I think you think it's going to be easier than what it really is.
And what makes you think that?
Just the
have
way...
Have I ever said that?
No, but just the way you always have an answer for everything, how you can always
sure,
say, you know...
Sure, I'm planned. I'm ready to fucking roll with this. Planned, I'm going to work
planning,
hard.
You can plan as much as you want, mate.
But how would this ever... How would this conversation argument ever end? Would it end with me going, you're right, Al, this is going to be impossible. I can't do it. I'm going to hate it and it's going to be miserable.
No.
Well, then what?
It'll never end until you have a kid and you look at me on Skype after 12 hours of baby grape not sleeping and go, fuck, this is so much worse than I thought it would be.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Because now, what happens if that doesn't happen?
It will happen.
There's no
if it doesn't, it will happen. At some point...
Do you want to put some money on this?
I would put money all day on it. Literally, I'd put $100 now.
$100?
$100 now.
There's a handshake.
$100 on it that you will say at some point,
yes,
this is so much harder than I thought it was ever going to be.
I'll say it's very hard. I won't say it's hard.
You'll say now it's very hard. You think it's going to be very hard.
Yeah.
When it actually happens,
yeah,
if you're true to yourself, and you are true to yourself, which I give you that,
yeah,
you will say to me, this is so much harder than I thought it would be to lead a life of polyamory and baby mamas all in the same umbrella.
Yeah?
Yeah. I would bet $1,000, actually. Seriously, I would bet $1,000.
I don't want to take that much money from you. You're a bit strapped at the moment.
I am a bit strapped at the moment, but I would bet $1,000 on it because...
You're a bad gambler.
I'm a terrible gambler. Nothing prepares you for a kid.
Yeah.
Absolutely nothing. You can plan and plan and plan and plan and plan.
Mm.
Nothing prepares you for a kid.
Right. But I'm not suggesting I don't do it.
I suggest you do it all day long.
Right, but even though you did say I wouldn't be a good dad, I'd be a terrible dad.
You'll learn to become... You would be a terrible dad at the moment, as I was.
Uh-huh.
I was a terrible dad.
Yeah.
And I'll be the first to admit it. But once baby George went into normal clothes,
uh-huh,
I was into him. Before, he was like a baby who just like was in a sleeping bag.
Yeah.
And you're like, mate, you have no...
Yeah.
Nothing. You're giving me nothing.
Right.
You're doing nothing for me.
Yeah.
But once he had his little shorts on,
yeah,
and his little friend Perry and all that.
When he was a little baby, he was odd to you and he was weird and you didn't really know it. But once he started wearing normal clothes and it became closer to norm, to what you've understood and you've experienced before.
Yeah.
Right.
And it was great. It was just great. And then I've said to you, all the bad... Like, at the moment, little un's got nappy rash and he's not sleeping and all that. So the last couple of days has been a bad few days. And for you to experience a bad few days is actually a good thing because you get to see the good. Well, you haven't got seen the good yet, but you get to see what it's like to be bad. So this is a bad time for us. But my wife went to Sydney a couple of weeks ago. I work at the airport and we managed for me to be airside doing my job and Mary to be in the terminal on the window. Looking, I made a phone call, said, Mary, if you go to this port of the window, you'll be able to see me. And for little Georgie to see me, then recognise me, and then knock and blow me a kiss, it broke me. It actually broke me. So that one gesture outweighs all this week now coming of... Bad, not bad. It's bad. I don't know if you're the right word, but you know, all the nappy rash and all that and the not sleeping. So
yeah.
I think you should do it. Mm. I think you'll be a rubbish dad at the beginning. But I think once you realise you can't live the life that you think you're going to be able to live, you'll change and you'll become a better dad. You may still be doing all this polyamory weird shit, but I think it won't be such a priority in your life. Your whole priority will change.
Yeah.
To
I don't doubt that.
To look in. And then I actually think, Matt, the polyamory stuff will just slowly fade away. It'll just slowly...
Well, I'll always be polyamorous, like I said. Now, will I date loads and loads of people because I don't have the time?
You don't date loads of people now in
exactly,
your single.
Exactly, then. So what's going to change?
The truth is, of you being this polyamory, is you've got to get girlfriends. You can't get a girlfriend now. You're a Z-list.
You're
sort of a Z-list famous now. You're on telly. Some telly.
Yeah.
And you still can't get a girlfriend. So the truth is, all this chat is rubbish. Because as we started at the very beginning in Australia, you're one of life's failures.
I think otherwise.
You can think all the night, but yeah. Actually, I don't even know why we're worrying about this, because you're not going to be polyamorous, because you're not going to pull. The truth is, you're not. You're going to get maybe one girlfriend and that's it.
I don't think so. Things have changed a lot.
Well, they may have changed.
They
How many
really
girlfriends
have
you got now?
Define a girlfriend.
Someone you hang out with and have sex with.
How often?
As often as you can, really.
Then I've probably got three or four.
If
I only see them once a year, does that count?
I don't know. Can you be polyamorous and only see the person once a year?
I think you're polyamorous whether you're seeing anybody or not.
Can you be polyamorous?
Are you monogamous?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I'm
Do you
monogamous.
Need to be having sex with someone to be monogamous? If you're not having sex with anybody, are you a monogamous or not?
I don't know. I don't know how to answer that. I actually don't know the question. I don't know what you're trying to say.
Are you the sort of person who's happy and wants to be with just one person and no one else?
Yes, I'm really happy.
Then do you need to be having sex with someone to feel that way?
Could I be with Mary just as a friend? Is that what you're saying?
No. What I'm saying is that you don't need to be physically active having sex with someone to consider yourself monogamous or polyamorous. In the same way that you don't need to be having sex with someone of the opposite sex and same sex at the same time to consider yourself bisexual. This is just who you are. What you do with that is neither here nor there.
I'd be honest, I don't understand what you're trying to say. That's the honest truth, I don't understand. I want to know this.
Yeah.
If you were polyamory and there was... You and two women.
Yeah.
But you only got the chance to see them once or twice a year.
Yeah.
Is it still polyamory or is it...
I think it is, yes.
Or is it a hookup?
No, it's polyamory.
It's still...
Well, a hookup can be polyamory, of course.
Yeah, but is there not a set amount of time you're meant to see the person in a said year to be classed as polyamory? So it could be just once a year. It could be a woman who lives in England,
yeah,
and you live in America, but you have to come over to England once a year, and for that 1 week you hook up.
Yeah.
That's polyamory.
Yeah. Well, I could not see anybody else.
No.
I could just be with one person. I could still be polyamorous.
Yeah.
And arguably, that's my notion, is that a lot of people are polyamorous.
So what you want in life is you want your cake and to eat it.
And you think
there's nothing wrong with that. Well, not nothing wrong. You think it's totally acceptable. Because that's really
Explain
what you want.
Explain your cake and eat it, though.
Your cake to eat and eat it is you would like to have a child with a woman who you're not. Are you in a polyamorous relationship with the baby mama as well, or a non-relationship?
Yeah, essentially, yeah.
We've
been intimate, yeah.
You've been intimate?
Yeah.
But there, you were talking about polyamory where you was going to do it through turkey basters and all that. That was a baby mama
idea. Originally, I wanted to be a platonic partner, yes, that I didn't
Plus
have.
Polyamorous.
Be in a sexual relationship with somebody else, correct?
No, yeah. So you initially you wanted to be...
Yeah.
Platonic parent
and
polyamorous.
Correct.
But now you would like to be polyamorous.
Now I'm open to being in an open relationship with the mother of my child. I'm open to it. Do I think it's ideal? Probably not. But my concern, the reason why I wanted to have a parenting partnership, was because I felt that to maintain a sexual relationship with somebody for the rest of your life is extremely difficult. Now, when that sexual relationship breaks down, that can really play havoc on a parenting relationship. That was why I wanted it to be a platonic friendship. Therefore, I never had to worry about the dissolution of a sexual relationship. However...
You said, what do I mean about have your cake and eat it?
Yeah.
Having your cake and eat, I mean, is that you want to have a baby with someone
uh-huh.
and have a sexual relationship with them if it's okay, which is, there's nothing wrong. But you would also like to have the option of to have other female friends which are, you're not only in a sexual relationship with, but you're also with a, in a, just going out, just hanging out. Isn't that having your cake and eating it?
But not in a bad way. No, like this notion of having a cake and eat it is saying, okay, having your cake and eating it is an indication that it's considered unfair. Like you want, that's a selfish thing. You want to have your cake and eat it. That's selfish. It's not selfish at all.
But that's what you want. You want to basically do everything you want to do and you want to find people.
Well, shouldn't everybody?
Well, I think sometimes you have to accept that sometimes life you can't do that. You have to. I'm sure that every bloke that's married wants to sleep with Megan Fox.
But what I'm saying is, like, I don't want to just have lots of different girls that I fuck and they don't fuck anybody else.
But what I'm saying is, I'm sure every bloke wants who's married wants to sleep with Megan Fox. When you're saying, I mean, she's a hottie.
Yeah.
But we can't.
Why can't you?
Because we've made a commitment to our wives or partners.
So if your wife or partner didn't want that commitment and said, it's okay, you can sleep with Megan Fox.
Yes.
Then would that be okay?
No, that's what you want. That's the life you want. Right. That's the life you've chosen to want.
Yeah.
So you are having your cake and eating it. You've chose a wife or a baby mama or polyamory people who give you permission to do said things.
Listen to what you said, though. Permission. As in, they own my sexuality in the sense that they're allowing me to be sexual with somebody else. Relationships aren't about owning part of somebody else. You make these agreements and these commitments because you want to, not because you're allowed to.
But you are being allowed to do that. You're making an agreement with someone that it's okay for to have more.
But that's
than
not
one.
Being allowed to. That's not them saying, okay, I'm allowing you to do this because otherwise I own it. No.
No, they is saying I'm allowing you to do this because they wouldn't be with you.
Not allowing. You're not allowing them to do it. You're saying be who you want.
Yeah, I don't mind.
Yeah, I guess you're saying, okay, I'm allowing you to be who you want. But not even allowing. Again, allowing implies that you're somehow, you have some kind of ownership. Much like parents. I'm allowing you to go out until 10 o'clock at night. It's not the same thing. Not if it's a true relationship. A true...
You're so good with words, but it's just so bollocks.
Because it just makes sense.
It doesn't. It's
it
just
makes
such
sense,
bollocks.
And it goes against all these sort
a
of polyamory, hardwired
you're
things
allowing,
you've been told.
You're allowing the person who you're in a relationship with to go and have another relationship. You're allowing it. You're letting them do it.
If you're saying allow...
You're letting them do it. You're letting them to do what they want. So there's no other word for it. They're doing it.
Yes.
So they're doing it with your consent.
Yes.
So isn't consent the same as allowing?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, I think it is, isn't it?
No.
Well, it really is.
No.
You don't mind them doing
it. If you're allowing it, you'll have the ability to say, no, you can't do that.
Yep.
Well, that's not the situation. I'm not saying, no, you can't do that. The difference is, and this is what it all comes down to in terms of setting up boundaries, etc., etc. You're not saying, you're allowed to do that. You're saying, be who you want to be. That's completely different.
I'm allowing you to do.
No, I'm allowing. You imagine if I said that. Okay, what do you want to eat? I don't know. I'll have a burger. Okay, I'll allow you to have that burger. You pretentious fuck. I'll eat what the fuck I want.
It's nothing to do with having a burger, though, is it? It's you just turn.
I'm allowing
things,
you to have
you
a burger.
You turn things around.
No,
polyamory
it's the
is allowing the person that you're with.
Not allowing. It's the words. It's words are so important.
No.
Oh, it's not. So when I say to you, yes, okay, Al, I'll allow you to eat dinner tonight, then you don't care about that.
You just twist. No. You're a twister. That's what you are.
No.
You're an intelligent guy who knows how to twist things to make him sound too intelligent. Oh, look at me, I've got a degree. You just twist and twist. The truth is, in a polyamorous relationship, you're giving permission, you're accepting that your partner will be
accepting is fine.
It's the same as allowing.
Accepting and allowing is not, no.
I accept you can have a burger this afternoon, I'm allowing you to have a burger.
But either way, both of those
It's semantics, isn't it? It's little bits that you like, you know, if I say this, it just makes my argument look a little bit better. But it's not. It's not
valid. Valid discussion for me to say, if I say to you, I'm allowing you to eat a burger, you're saying that's ridiculous.
No, because I want to eat the burger.
Right.
I'm saying to you, Steve, yep. I want to eat this burger. Uh-huh. And you're saying to me, I'm allowing you to eat this burger.
Right.
That's great. Thanks.
No, because that implies
so what you're actually
that
saying,
I could say
so
no.
What should you say to me about this burger? There's a burger there.
There's no discussion to have. Like, if I
there has to be a discussion, because how do you come to the arrangements and the
I'll say either this. You want to eat that burger, but I don't want to be friends with someone who eats burgers. I can't be friends with you. I'm sorry. That's not me saying I'm allowing you to eat a burger.
No, but how do you let me know I'm allowed to have the burger?
Because everybody's allowed to do what they want.
No, but we're on about we're not. I'm not allowed to sleep with other people. Mary would fucking kill me.
Because you have an agreement.
Right, so how does this agreement with the polyamory... Well, me and you are now in a polyamory arrangement. All right, how you doing?
That's disgusting.
See Doody over there? I think I might, you know, go and say hello. I want to have a little chat with him.
Uh-huh.
Is that right? Are you all right with that?
Before we even got to this stage, and this is, again, what I think is one of the values of polyamory, is that you discuss everything. Very few people who are in a monogamous relationship discuss that.
So before...
Your notion of monogamy? Did you ever discuss what monogamy meant to you?
I don't even know what monogamy means, to be honest. I presume it means if you're with the same person...
No, but what I'm saying is to you, it might be perfectly okay for Mary to have a friend who's a guy.
I want to role play polyamory. I'm now polyamory, you're now polyamory.
Okay, we're both polyamorous.
Ooh.
Are we in a relationship?
Not yet. Not yet.
How long have we known each other?
We've known each other a couple of weeks.
Okay. Have we slept together?
No.
Okay.
No, we haven't slept together.
All right. Gotcha.
So where do we go? Do I say, I'm polyamorous. Mm-hmm. I like you, but I also like Bob. And so I might have relationships with you. Right. And I might have relationships with Bob.
Yes.
Is that okay with you?
Say, yeah, that's fine.
So you're allowing me to
no.
do it? Oh, so you're not allowed. So saying yes,
it's something I can do with allowing someone to do it.
Well,
this is how you feel. Do you feel the same way? Yes, I feel the same way.
So
great.
Isn't that the same? Isn't allowing?
That's not allowing. No,
I think it is.
Allowing is giving permission.
Well, you are giving me permission.
No, I'm not giving you permission.
You want to have a relationship. You don't mind having a relationship with me, and
yes.
I'm okay to have a relationship
Correct.
With Bob.
Correct.
So you're allowing me to do it.
No.
So you're not allowing me to do it.
No, it's got nothing to do with allowing. It's got nothing to do with permission. I'm not giving you permission because I don't own your sexuality in the first place. This is how you want to live. Am I okay with you living that way? Of course I am.
You're not giving me permission. You're allowing me to do it. To continue a relationship with me, you're allowing me, or you don't mind me being with Bob.
I don't mind, yes.
You don't mind.
Right.
So
but I'm not giving you permission.
But
I don't own you to give permission.
Because I am going with Bob, aren't you accepting it?
I'm accepting that's how you want to live your life.
So in a way, aren't you not allowing me to do it, but aren't you sort of saying it's okay, it's all right, I'm allowing you, I don't mind.
No, I'm not allowing you because I don't have to give you permission. You don't need permission to live your life a certain way. All it is discussion where you want to live your life this way, I want to live my life this way, and it works and it fits because we both view the world the same way, and that's a beautiful thing. And everybody who's in a monogamous relationship should have the same discussion. This is how I view it. I don't want to be with anybody else. If I'm with somebody sexually, I don't really want them to be with anybody else because jealousy is a big issue with me whatsoever. Do you feel that same way? Yeah, I do. Okay, great. Let's be together. Now, I'm not giving you permission. I'm not denying you permission to be with anybody else, but we've just discussed
this. So would you? We're in a polyamorous relationship, but I want to go down a path where the path I want to go down is something that you don't agree with. Well, how does that work in polyamory then?
The same way it works in any relationship, business or otherwise.
You just say no.
Well, that's
so the
thing.
Relationship ends.
If that's a deal breaker, okay. Yeah.
All right.
So as human beings, we have relationships with other human beings, and it's always up to negotiation. People change. Again, one of the issues with monogamy is that people do change. And when people change and you've got this idea you're going to spend the rest of your life together, it makes it very problematic.
So what we're saying, we agree that polyamory is allowing other people to have sex. So that's really basically what we're saying.
That's what you're trying to say, and you just don't have an argument for it.
Going down the same path.
Yeah.
Well, I think we've covered everything, have we? I'd just like to say, if I've said anything that offends anyone, I apologise. I don't mean to. I really don't care about anyone else.
That's I don't think you've said anything that you need to apologise
for. But I don't want...
You're a kind person, and you certainly mean well. You've made it clear you want everybody to live their life the way that makes them happy, as long as it doesn't hurt anybody else.
We had a little row last night. Not a row, a discussion in the car, that I have some views that some people may see as...
bigoted?
No, what does bigoted mean?
Means that you are somehow judgmental in a irrational way.
Okay, we'll say that. Maybe I have some views that are bigoted, and you think I should share them views always, don't you?
What I believe is that if you have a viewpoint, you should be able to stand behind it. Now, I do understand that within the world that we live, it's all well and good to say, okay, if you believe this, you should be able to go on national TV and scream it from the rooftops. But you have to understand that you are not an island. And I've used this example on a number of situations in terms of positive examples of this. If you take Martin Luther King.
He had a dream.
He did have a dream. And if you take Gandhi, if you take John Lennon, people who espoused a very positive, loving worldview and suffered considerably because of it.
Yes.
Not just them, but their family, their children, the people who loved them suffered as well. And arguably, maybe they shouldn't. I don't know. That's a decision that everybody has to make themselves. So I won't judge them for it. Now, I'll have to say that last night, I was very passionate about it because I've tried to get people on the podcast who feel vehemently against the way that I believe. Now, I'm coming on the podcast because I want to try and say, this is how I feel. I don't think there's anything to be ashamed of it. I want this to be encouraging for other people that feel the same way. And so it's important to me that I get people who feel the opposite way on to discuss that. And very few of them will actually come on there and be open in that way. And that, to me, raises my ire because I think it doesn't promote a positive, healthy world.
But then people who don't want to is because there's no upside for me to shout a view of something out there. I don't like anybody, literally.
Unless
you do. Unless you're in the Lewis bubble, I don't care for anybody. That's just the way. That's just it. I don't mean I don't wish anyone any harm, but they're insignificant.
Okay.
If they're not in the Lewis bubble, they're insignificant. But I still have my views.
Yeah.
You know, but right. I don't want to shout them out. I'm quite happy keeping them to myself.
I mean, that's fair enough. I just guess my concern with that is that if someone's extremely racist, for example, and I believe that by having discourse, by having this discussion about how you feel, encourages a more positive, loving, kind world. Because I think you would agree in terms of racism that... I don't want to say it's wrong because morality is a different thing. But I do believe that racism has a negative effect on society. And therefore, if you have a racist view and you keep it to yourself, that will propagate. And it will propagate to your children, etc., etc. Whereas if you espouse that and you talk it, I do believe that rational human beings, and I think most people ultimately are rational human beings, and you yourself were in that situation at one point, you would change your worldview to a better way. So when I hear people espousing viewpoints that I believe are negative and hurt society as a whole, I want them to be open because I believe through discourse, it will encourage a better, kinder, happier world for us to live in.
So if you have baby Grape and he's of an age, would you like him to pursue, obviously, whatever he chooses?
Yes.
But would you feel you would encourage him to try polyamory and, you know, baby mama? Or would you literally just let him make it totally up to him? You wouldn't give him both sides of the coin. You would just, it would literally just be his choice. It would be,
yeah, I'd say, this is how I feel. This is how your mum feels. I'd let him talk to Uncle Al as well. Talk to Uncle Al. I know he's drunk and he's passed out. He doesn't actually drink anymore. He's just passed out. But have a word to Uncle Al, you know.
Uncle Derek.
Right, yeah. Uncle Derek.
Coming off the porch. Listen, we discussed that.
So whether it's, you know, whether it's relationship styles, whether it's religion, whether it's education. People should make their own choices. I was encouraged to make my own choices, and that's why I believe that I haven't come to this stage because of negative things that have happened to me, and that if I had a normal relationship, I'd be truthfully as happy as I would otherwise. I believe I've come to this situation because I was encouraged to be open-minded and go out into the world and learn what works for me and what makes me happy and what works the world a better place. That's why I've come to this place.
What, Perth?
Exactly, to be here.
So, after all this,
yes,
what we've realised is...
Uh-huh.
You're going to be a shit dad,
okay,
until you are a dad.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Which is probably okay.
Yeah, you're going to be a shit dad until you are a dad.
Nothing wrong with being a bad dad if you don't have kids.
Polyamorous, and we're all good about that, and yeah, you allow people, because we've decided allowing is the right word.
No.
And you are one of life's failures, really. But so lovely with it.
I think I consider myself now, and this is ironic, because, yes, 2 years ago, even a year ago, I would have agreed. But I would have agreed because I wanted to be one of life's failures. I saw myself in that
worldview. You were damaged, weren't you? Like, you was...
No,
not damaged as such.
People find their own sort of niche. Some people are very sort of selfish.
And yours was.
And mine was seeing myself as that lovable loser. Maybe it was growing up with movies in the 80s where the sort of nerd always wins in the end.
Not in real life.
Not in real life.
Really, not in...
And this has been a journey that I've come on.
Not in real life.
Accepting myself, and loving people in general, and going that people are different. And if you love people for their differentness... then you love yourself for your differentness, and it's okay. And now I don't see myself as a failure. I see myself as a success. Not because I've achieved anything in and of itself, but because I'm happy. Just to be happy is a success.
That's all I want from you, to be happy. And seriously, ideally, in a monogamous relationship, living with someone and having a baby and all that. Yeah. Idea that, to me, would make me happy. But look, if you're happy, you're happy. Anyway, as I was saying, if I have offended anyone, I apologise. I don't mean to be. It's 2 hours of talking with Steve, and he says such shit sometimes, it winds me up. Can we go get food now?
Yeah, let's go and get food. But before we go and get food, I just want to say how much I really appreciate our friendship. And I know it's been over 20 years now. And the fact
years.
That we only knew each other for 3 weeks in Australia, and we've maintained this friendship.
He's been best man at both my weddings. Doesn't make me come across great saying both my weddings, but he has been best man at both of my weddings.
But to
I've
me,
been best man at his wedding.
It just reiterates what I talk about in terms of love. You know what I mean? To feel love for another human being like that.
Cut that out.
That I am going to have to cut out. That is... But you see what I mean? Like, you realise that there are certain people that you connect with. And to think that whatever we share as a friendship, I couldn't
He's
share.
Welling up a little bit now.
Whatever it was you are, and you're trying to get away from it. Because I wouldn't say this.
No, carry on. No, and I'll say it as well. I value your friendship so much. It just, to only have known you 3 weeks, literally just 3 weeks, but they were some good 3 weeks, weren't they? A funny, funny 3 weeks.
We had a moment or two, yeah.
Like, really, really funny. And then you went off to New Zealand, done a little bit travelling, and I went back to Emma. And then, at that time, don't forget, it's 95. So our only communication is not like it is now. It's not emails. It wasn't Skype or Facebook or Face. It was literally picking up the phone. You then come in to live with us in Oxford, which my best friend, again, another of my best friends, I have two, I'm quite lucky. He paid most of the rent. He had the bedroom. I paid the second amount of rent. I had the front room. And then Steve, who couldn't pay rent, had to live in the kitchen with the ants. And we have ants. Didn't we? Lived above a kebab shop.
Yeah, every night there was an army that would march
and
past
little,
my bed.
His little mattress would come. We had it behind the table in the kitchen. And his little mattress. And he worked. You worked like 80 hours a week,
yeah,
weren't you? And you was literally on minimum wage, and you were saving up all this money to go to America. And it was wonderful. It was like the passion of to see you And no one thought you'd be a wrestler, let's be honest. No one really thought
except
you.
Except me.
Except you. And everyone, like, when we come to Leicester to visit you and we're in the dorms and we'd go into your other matey's dorms and they would have the poster of Carly or Hot Chicks or Cars. And then we'd go to your little dorm and you'd have pictures of the British wrestler and it was great.
Right.
Absolutely great. And then I've got a little shrine to you. You are an inspiration to me. You really are. And I know also a good friend of mine called Aidy also thinks you are. You've said you're going to do something and you've done it. And when the first time I saw you on that, it was fucking, honestly, it was wonderful.
Yeah.
It made me. I've now actually just in the process of buying a mannequin doll, and Steve actually brought over his wrestling gear, so I'm actually going to have a mannequin in the corner of my room of him, which my wife thinks is odd.
So yeah. How can that be a failure? How can I be one of life's biggest failures if you've got a shrine to me?
You're my failure. I don't know. You're not. Not
that's lovely. That's probably the perfect way of putting it. I'm your failure.
You're my little failure.
Yeah, well, that's wonderful. Know. Well, anyway, let's get some food. I'm starving. Thank you for everything. And
are you going to say the Australian words you've learnt? Devo.
I'll be Devo if we're not friends for the rest of our lives.
And we're going to go and put our thongs on. We're going to town in our thongs.
Can't put a price on comedy.
You really can't.
That was Al. He's a good one, eh? Next week's interview is with a friend I've talked to a lot about the issues discussed in this podcast, who at the beginning of our discussions took the opposite viewpoint on monogamy, I think. Since then, however, he has had a lot more experiences to amend his views and now is actually in a non-monogamous relationship. But it's not as simple as that, as you will hear in the interview. He made some comments very relevant to my life now, with the potentiality of trying to make a baby with Eri. And we also talk about the nature of our relationship.
I feel like you can separate sex from emotions.
Okay.
Not necessarily that you have to, but I feel like you can be friends with someone and have sex with them. And it not be romantic, necessarily.
You see, this is the thing, though. You
are awesome.
Are getting all my fucking luck. Like somewhere up in the heavens, the balance, the scales of luck.
Have you ever seen the movie Twins?
You're fucking Danny DeVito.
You are.
Fuck off.
You're the Danny DeVito.
I'm like 4 inches taller than you.
You are. And I've had way more fun sex than you, though.
I don't know if that's true. I'll see you next week. Well, that is it. Another week on this earth, another blessing. Thank you for listening and being part of my journey. Drop me a line if you have a comment or question, or if you think you know someone who'd be a good parenting partner for me. If you like the show, help spread the word, write a review, subscribe on iTunes or Stitcher so you don't miss an episode. I will be back next week, but until then, wherever you are and whoever you're with, be kind and happy. Let love rule.